Once again, this is Ed McMahon from Monitor 67, where weekends are different. Coming up shortly, a startling picture of South Vietnamese soldiers from Howard Tuckner of NBC News, who has had a first-hand look at the action there. Meanwhile, Monitor Music.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm sitting in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox. And the music takes me back to Tennessee. And they ask, who's the fool in the corner crying? I say, a little old wine drink of me.
Drinker Me, a bit of musical autobiography by Dino Martin.
Hello, Gladys. Gladys, something wild just happened. My husband kissed me goodbye this morning. But he's never done that. No, the same old house coat, the usual breakfast. My toothpaste. Well, Ultra Bright, of course, that's it! Ultra Bright! It works! Ultra Bright gives your mouth
sex appeal!
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest, your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal, and that's Ultra Bright.
Gladys, after Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
Throughout this weekend, Monitor is featuring a series of conversations with NBC newsman Howard Tuckner, who has spent 18 months in Vietnam and has some startling opinions of the situation there. He spoke with another of our Monitor hosts, Gene Rayburn.
Howard Tuckner, elsewhere today on Monitor, you stated that the South Vietnamese soldier is not a good fighting man, that he's badly led, a victim of corruption, and suffering from low morale. Now, on the other hand, General Westmoreland has said that the South Vietnamese Army is doing an adequate job. How do you account for this discrepancy?
Well, I should say at first that I think General Westmoreland is doing the best job he could under the circumstances. As far as the South Vietnamese progress is concerned on the army level, I think General Westmoreland may believe this, or he may feel he has to believe this, but I'm afraid that his troops out in the field believe something completely different. If the South Vietnamese were really pulling their own weight, and there are 700,000 South Vietnamese troops, would America need to have sent 500,000 troops? I think the answer is clear.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to the troops in the field, I found the morale over there extremely high. They do believe they're fighting for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I think if a youngster is going to have to fight in the jungles and rice paddies and in very bad places, as they must over there, then perhaps it's good that he believes he's fighting for San Francisco. I think it helps him stay alive. I think it helps keep him from being wounded. I think it helps him be an aggressive soldier. But I found more and more, especially in my last 6 months in Vietnam, that more American soldiers and Marines were saying, well, why should we continue to fight and die for this country if the South Vietnamese don't seem willing to fight and die for their own country? And when you ask the American troops to go into the reasons, you hear stories like this. South of Saigon is a province called Long An Province. It's the gateway to the Delta, to the rice of the Delta. It's Saigon's lifeline. And the American army is down there in some force. And not too long ago, there was a fight, a very difficult fight for the Americans. They were caught as soon as they came off a river in an amphibious assault. They were caught in crossfire, heavy machine guns, and 24 hours they were pinned down. They suffered many casualties. When it was over, a few of the boys told me that a South Vietnamese army unit was only 400 or 500 meters away, and they called them for help. The Americans asked the South Vietnamese to come, and for some reason or other, they just couldn't make it. They were having lunch or something, as the boys reported to me. Also, a couple of days later, I went out with a company that was going across the same area, rice paddies, mud, and they didn't have an interpreter with them. And most of the other American units that I had been with had a South Vietnamese interpreter. It's extremely important, as you can see, because when you run into peasants, and you don't really know if the peasant is a Viet Cong, if he's friendly, or if he's an enemy, you want to interrogate him. You want to find out if the enemy is nearby, what he knows. And this boy was a young but tough sergeant, and he said, no, the Vietnamese interpreters aren't with us anymore. And I said, why? And he said, well, first, they're not interested in going with us because they know that we like to go where we think the enemy is. And secondly, he said, we're not unhappy that they're not with us, because he related incidents where South Vietnamese interpreters with American units had indeed led American units into Viet Cong ambushes on purpose.
Hmm.
So with this kind of situation, you could see where some American troops are starting to think about why.
It's amazing to me, in the face of these stories, Howard, that the morale is as high as it is, and the American forces are performing as efficiently as they are apparently performing.
It's one of the most remarkable things. Not only that, but I think it's the most humane, compassionate army we've ever had. I know there's been stories that have been reported here about Americans perhaps being brutal, perhaps being animalistic. Sure, villages have been bombed, but by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
By mistake. And it's good to keep in mind that no village in Vietnam can be bombed without the province chief's okay. And he's South Vietnamese. And there have been times when province chiefs have been accused of calling American airstrikes in a village merely because the village did not pay the taxes to the province chiefs. Now, I'm talking about South Vietnamese villages and South Vietnamese province chiefs. And in fact, there have been stories that some villages have been bombed because the province chief was interested perhaps in a lady in the village and she was not interested in him.
Howard,
now, this sounds fantastic, I know.
With stories like that coming to you, the next logical question is, why do we stay there? Can we afford to pull out?
Without losing face? I don't know how important saving face is. This is something that Washington must decide for its future in world politics.
Thank you, Howard. We've been talking with Howard Tuckner, just returned from an 18-month assignment with NBC News in Vietnam. This is Gene Rayburn for Monitor.
You're listening to Monitor 67 at 15 minutes before the hour. Ahead, an interview with World Series star and American League Triple Crown winner Carl Yastrzemski. So stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
That's what a cow does.
That's what a rooster does.
That's what a dog does. And here's what people do. Smart people.
Hello? Doctor's office? I'd like to make an appointment for a checkup.
Yes, the Heart Association tells us that a regular health checkup is one of the best ways to reduce the risk of heart attack. For more information, ask your Heart Association.
Music, news, traffic reports, Biggie's piano, conversation, and sports. The Big Wilson Show is so well proportioned, it fits everyone. Why don't you try it on for size? Monday through Saturday mornings from 5 to 9 on The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Ed McMahon here, continuing Monitor 67 with Nancy Sinatra, who sings a song that isn't, repeat, isn't about the First Lady, even though the title of it is Lady Bird.
I've been where the eagle flies, rode his wings across autumn skies, kissed the sun, touched the moon, but he left me much too soon. Ladybird, he left his ladybird.
Ladybird, come on down, I'm here waiting on the ground. Ladybird, I'll treat you good. Ah, ladybird, I wish you would, you ladybird.
Outdoor tip. If you have poison ivy in your yard or garden, you can destroy it by pouring ordinary household bleach around the roots. Now, here's another tip. Now that autumn's here and the leaves are beginning to fall, here's one of the best lawn tips that you can have. From now on, vacuum your lawn, just like a carpet. Easy? It is easy. The new Quick and Quiet Lawn Boy Power Mower comes with a king-size leaf bag that lets you vacuum while you cut. Rotary action swoops up the leaves and stores them. So leaf it up with the new Lawn Boy. Just one push on the primer button, one easy pull on the starter cord, and you're off to a flying start and a quick finish. Lawn Boy's twin spark ignition gives you the hottest startup going. And talk about quiet. Lawn Boy's got an extra large muffler hidden under the mower housing. It muffles the engine noise down into the grass. So see the new 1968 Lawn Boy line at your dealers. Everything from an 18-inch economy model to a big 30-inch rider. One's sure to be just right for you. Now's the time to trade in your troubles on a quick-to-start, quiet-on-the-go Lawn Boy.
You made it that way. You sweet love made it that way. Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. You sweet love made it that way.
It was a watermelon summer. A hummingbird hummer. Every day was a slumber in the shade. It was a tail-telling whopper, banana split topper, a tall, cool blast of lemonade. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
It was a lot of water splashing, a fall down kind of laughing, good old times rehashing afternoon. It was a backyard barbecuing, a hammock swinging moon. Meet the summer's watermelon moon. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
It was the game of hide and seek to kick the can. It was alley oughts and free every time for you and me. 'Cause hiding was the best part of the game. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way. Yeah.
Perry Como, knee-deep in nostalgia as he sings, You Made It That Way. In one moment, Boston Red Sox World Series star Carl Yastrzemski. Monitor Sports is brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company.
This is Al Capp for State Farm Mutual. I saw a father at the wheel of his car today teaching his five-year-old how to drive, and it was a moving sight. I moved over to the side of the road because he was teaching that little nipper the ecstasy of being the first car to blast off before the light changed, the delight of crossing three lanes of traffic, no signal, no hands. Now, the sad thing is, he probably won't be around long enough to see his kid grow up to be the type of driver he is, but even sadder, the chances that we will. So many fathers who carefully set a good example for their kids by good eating manners are so careless about the example they set by their driving manners. A few years of good driving manners and companies like State Farm Mutual can bring car insurance rates down. And that's important because State Farm's the world's largest car insurer.
Carl Yastrzemski, the slugging Red Sox outfielder, won the American League's triple crown and helped to carry the St. Louis Cardinals to seven games in the World Series. For a postscript, here's Carl and Monitor Sports editor Len Dillon.
Carl Yastrzemski, you said that if you lived to be 100 years old, nothing would ever equal the thrill of winning the American League pennant. Do you still feel that way after having lost a tough World Series?
Well, yes, I do, Len. It'll be something that I don't think will ever be equaled in sports again. We came from ninth place to win a pennant, and we did it in a fashion whereas we didn't know until the last day of the season, and of course with the four other teams fighting for it. We would like to have won the World Series, no doubt about it. It would have topped off a great season. But there again, there was another ball club that wanted to win the World Series also.
Carr, looking back, do you think that perhaps the failure to start Lomborg in the first game might have cost the Red Sox the World Series?
Well, definitely, but there again, Jim couldn't start the first game because he had pitched Sunday, and it would have been impossible for him to come back on a Wednesday. I would like to have seen us, say, cinch the pennant on a Saturday where Jim would have had 3 days' rest and been able to come back and pitch that first game in the World Series. It would have been very interesting to see him going against Gibson for those 3 days.
Well, you faced Gibson three straight times. Is there anything to compare with him in the American League?
Well, I have to say the closest comparison you can make in American League would have to be Earl Wilson. Earl is the same type of pitcher. He has an overpowering fastball when he wants to. He can run the ball away from you, same as Gibson. He has good control. He has a hard slider. And he's a fine athlete in the respect that he can field his position and also hurt you with the bat. So I'd have to say they're both almost identical athletes.
In your opinion, do you feel that Gibson pitched differently to you in the third game than he did in the first or second? Or
well,
did he change at all?
Actually, Len, in the first game he pitched me in and out. The second game he pitched me all out, everything away from me and turning the ball over. And then in the last game he pitched me down and away, and I think he only threw one or two pitches inside to me all day. And I'd have to say the third game compared to the second game as far as his pitching performance goes.
Now, it's been suggested that your preseason physical training had a lot to do with your winning the Triple Crown. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, I think it helped me. There's no way in which you can measure a thing like this, but I have to say that during the year I only lost 1 or 2 pounds, whereas in previous years I lose maybe up to 8 to 10 pounds. I felt very strong at the end of the season, very, very strong, probably strong at the end as I did in the beginning of the season, and I have to contribute to these exercises.
What sort of a conditioning program did you go through and for how long?
Well, actually, I'd work an hour and a half a day starting November 1st. On my legs, I would use a soccer's conditioning program, and then for my feet and hands and hips to have perfect timing and speed of timing, I'd use a boxes program using a lightweight punching bag, the fast bag, of course, jumping rope, anything to coordinate my feet with my hands. And, of course, I swung a lead bat and squeezed a rubber ball, which would be excellent exercise for a baseball player.
Do you plan to do this again starting this November or
yes.
next year?
Yes, I'm starting November 15th because I'm going to take a couple weeks off right now.
Well, Carl Yastrzemski, congratulations on a wonderful World Series, and thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much, Len. My pleasure.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
And now a word from VM, the voice of music.
This is football coach Ira Parsegian. I've got a sporting proposition for you from the man who sells VM, the voice of music. If you'll give VM a fair hearing, he'll give you a free copy of their new 64-page book, How to Watch Football Like an Expert. Listen to a VM phonograph or tape recorder at any participating VM dealer, and the book is yours free. It diagrams the key plays, key moves, and it's packed with information. I think it's terrific. You just give VM a fair hearing, and you'll get a free copy. Is it a deal?
This is Monitor 67. I'm your host, Ed McMahon, inviting you to stay tuned now for NBC News on the Hour.
Keep tuned. The latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. From NBC.
Hello, this is Dr. Joyce Brothers, Plaza 78866.
The problem, teenagers and violence. The answer.
More and more, we're seeing violence for the sake of violence and not for money alone. There's a stimulation, a courting of danger, an illness which erupts into such violence. There are many reasons behind it, many that we don't understand. The breakdown of the family, the fact that the father does not have the authority that he used to have in the home. Part of it is the violent culture that we live in. Children are brought up on killings that happen in drama. And then they see the man alive again. So the idea of death or the idea of injury is mitigated by the fact that it is play acting. We see beatings and violence on television, and little by little we become inured to it.
Dr. Joyce Brothers, weekdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on WNBC. A change in the batting order. Carl Yastrzemski pinch hits for Bill Mazur tonight at 6 on the Conversation Station, WNBC New York.